Hello again. This is World Pastor Tony Alamo, and tonight we're in part 78 of How to Have God's Life Living in You. And we have some letters and testimonials here. And this is program number 180. If you'd like a copy of it, we'll tell you at the end of the program. And when you order, just specify whether you want a tape or a CD. Right now, let's go to the throne of the Lord and ask Him to anoint this service. Father, Lord, the last message you gave was that we're to not be molded into the mold of the world. And the world keeps attempting to mold us into its likeness and image. For instance, there is a Wells Fargo company that stated that they chased our people away when we were bringing them the knowledge of how to achieve eternal life. And they stated that we found on the internet that they're interested in becoming part of the new, what's the old world thought, rather than to allow themselves to receive the truth and to allow others to see the truth, that they may be molded into the image and the likeness of your dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. You stated that we're able to be able to mold ourselves, we have to choose to do it, into the image and the likeness of the Lord Jesus Christ by the renewing of our mind. By the renewing of our M-I-N-D-S, our minds. So, and I mentioned, rather you did through me, how that is accomplished, and that's by subjecting ourselves unto your word, because, in other words, unto your Son. Your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, is the Word of God. So those who believe on the Word of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Word of God, shall be saved. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him, the whole Word of God, shall be saved. The Bible plainly states in the book of Revelation, and also in the first chapter of John, that Jesus Christ is the Word of God. So to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ is to believe on the entire Word of God. No liar shall enter the kingdom of God, no fornicator, no adulterer. Anyone who worships anyone other than the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. Anyone worshiping any other god or goddess, such as Mary, cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. There is only one name given among men whereby they must be saved, and that's the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Word of God. Mary is not the Word of God. She wasn't the mother of God. She was the mother of a man. This man who was God, who became flesh, he became a man so that he could have genuine human blood to shed, because there's no forgiveness of sin without the shedding of blood. And the blood must be perfect. It must be the blood of the man who came to the world with God in him, who never committed a sin in his life, and who laid his life down for us that our souls might be saved. And Lord, today we know that we have to be molded into your image and likeness, and that the world is squeezing us into its own mold. It's like a junkyard that you see down here so far as the human beings are concerned, and you want them to die out, to be crushed like scrap metal in a junkyard. And you want us refined like gold and silver. You want to smelter us so that we can be molded into your likeness. And the way this happens is that we're saved, and then we begin taking up the cross and following you in pouring you, Jesus, who are the entire Word of God, into our mind, so that our mind and the rest of us is shaped, conformed, not to this world, back to the scrap metal, but to conformed unto the likeness of Jesus Christ, the Word of God. So when we allow the Word, which is Christ, to enter us and to meditate on Him, the Word, Christ, day and night, and continue on till we go, our bodies die, then we are already sitting with Christ in heavenly places, because our mind is strictly on the Word, God, the Word, Jesus. And we are immediately taken into heaven. What a beautiful thing, Father. I ask that this message, and the message mentioned in Malachi, which talks of us being melted down like in a smeltering plant and made into your image, I pray that this message gets through to the world, that those in the world that are unsaved will be saved, and the church will get back to you, because I know that many of them have fallen away from you, the truth. The only truth in the world is Jesus, the living God, and that truth is given to us in the form of the Word of God. Lord, I ask these things in the name of Jesus, and everyone says amen.
Amen.
All right, praise the Lord. Now, where's the first letter come, or testimonial? There's a young man in our church that, you know, when a person gets saved, their relatives or their wives that don't like the gospel always want them to come down and have some coffee so they can tell the people that it's so sick that they now believe in Jesus Christ, the Word of God. Even after the Spirit of God, God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit have entered into you, they want you to come and have coffee downtown Hollywood so they can counsel you with the counsel of the world. And the Bible says that love not the world, because everything that's in the world is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. So he says, no, don't let anyone take you out of the church. It's your job, now that you're a Christian, to bring them into the church so that there's a possibility that their souls might be saved. Amen?
Amen.
And they're not smeltered yet. They're still so much, just like the junk in a junkyard. They have to be melted down. We have to die. The old us has to die out, and we have to allow Christ to enter into us and abide in us, and us in Him. Because He's coming back, the Bible says, to take charge of His temple. And the Bible tells us where that temple is. Know you not that you are the temple of God, the home of God, where God wants to reside, and take your body, your temple, His home. It's not your temple anymore once He lives in you, but He is. He wants to guide you for the rest of your life so that your soul might enter the kingdom of heaven, and that your transformed body will enter into the kingdom as well. Now, just as it's impossible to tell how beautiful it is in the kingdom of heaven, it's also impossible to tell how horrible it is in the lake of fire. Now, a lot of preachers, you know, they don't preach this. They'd rather tell you smooth things and talk about, you know, how you can attain an automobile here on this side of eternity, or a home or something like that. But you're not going to take any automobile. You're not going to take any home into the kingdom of God with you. You're not going to take even one threepence, 1 cent or one threepence or one widow's mite into the kingdom of heaven. So for those of you that have given your lives to and knocking yourselves out to make a fortune, and then when you die, the Bible tells that you don't know what's going to happen with your money. if you leave it to a sun that isn't too bright, somebody else is going to get it. And here, all you did was knock yourself out all your life to get that money, and you can't even take anything with you. The Lord looks at the heaven and the earth, and they flee away, and there's nothing left. There's not even a bush for you to hide behind. You're standing naked and alone in front of the Almighty God at the great white throne. And then you start saying, why didn't I seek eternity? Why didn't I pay any attention to where I'm going to spend eternity? I spent a lot of years going to university so I'd learn how to do something. And most of the people that I know that have gone to universities, they never amount to anything, because there's so many millions of them that have the same knowledge, and there's too much competition with the people that have that, like, all the same knowledge. If there's hundreds of millions of people that know about one thing, well, you know, that's not a very good thing. I'd rather be a person that there's nobody else that knows what I know. But then when I found the Lord Jesus Christ and I began knowing the Lord and His Word, this is something that hardly anybody knows in detail. Actually, we're the minority in this world, a very small minority of people that know the Word of God enough to be able to make it into the kingdom of heaven. And then there's some that know quite a bit of the Word of God, but they'll never make it in because they don't do what the Bible tells them to do. And a lot of them hide what they know in their earthen vessel, in the earth. And they don't want to tell people about Jesus because Jesus embarrasses them so much. To mention God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit would make them oddballs in their little cliques. They might go out over to the Eagles Club, or and have beers on Friday night or something, and watch television at the bar with the boys. Or they might have another clique where they all play poker or something. That's become something that's quite popular these days, you know, where they have this celebrity poker going on television and everything. And so you want to be like the world, and so I want to go study poker. Or you go to ballroom dance classes, because that's happening today, and you want to be one of the in crowd. You don't want to be outside looking in. But what, you know, what if your soul goes out to meet the Lord tonight? And every soul, whether they want to or not, is going to stand before God. If you're not born again of the Spirit, you're going to stand before the judgment bar of God, the great white throne, and you're going to be naked and alone. It's not going to be a big crowd there. Each one stands there individually naked before God, himself or herself. And if you're not born again of the Spirit, well, then the Lord says that you go out. Now, the kingdom of heaven, the New Jerusalem, is four square. And the pit of hell, and it's measured. It's like isolated. There's no possible way that that kingdom of heaven can be increased or it can shrink. But the Bible states that hell has been enlarged without measure. There's no measure to it, because God had to enlarge it because the entire world is deceived. And the entire world is going there. Well, you're of the world, Tony, you might say. No, I'm not of the world. Just like Jesus said, I am not of this world. Those of us that are in the body of Christ, we live for another world, which is the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. But everyone that's still in this world, that will refuses to be smelted down from the image of this world and the likeness of this world. The image of this world is the image of the beast and the likeness of the beast. The world is the beast, because Satan is the god, the Bible says, of this world, the world system, that is. But the Lord owns the earth, and He's taking it back, and He's casting everything of the world into a fire, and it's all going to burn. And if you're part of that world, as the Bible says you are, you need to either repent or you need to burn. That's what it means when it says repent or perish. And so, you know, we get, after 41 and a half years, I've seen so many young Christians come in, and their families come up, and they hire police officers and try to get them out, and they say there's such a radical change in this person. Yes, there is, because the Spirit of God enters into them. Christ enters in with his Father by the Spirit, and they become new creatures. The Bible plainly states that, but they accuse us of hypnotizing them, brainwashing them, using hoodoo and voodoo and all these weirdo things that the lost, the people of the junkyard, are saying that happened to these pitiful creatures that have now received eternal life, immortality from the Lord. You imagine anybody being that stupid? Well, the Bible says that the people in the world are that stupid. As a matter of fact, the Bible says that they're dead in their sins and trespasses. And they're more than stupid. The Bible says that they don't know anything. They say, the Bible says that the dead know nothing. And those of you that are deceived by Satan and that you desire to stay in the mold of the world, you won't let God break that mold with his word, which the Bible says is like a fire and like a hammer that breaketh the rock, that mold, to pieces. In the book of Jeremiah. Well, then you're just going to be part of the beast. And you, and the mark of the beast, the mark of the beast is that you're worldly. Now, the mark of Christians is that you're godly, and that you must be a brainwasher, a mind controller, a person that hoodwinks people into having immortal life and escaping hell. That makes us, the world thinks that we're weird creatures because we're not desirous of being flooded over with hundreds of millions of different pestilences that are occurring on the earth today. What do you mean, hundreds of millions? Well, there's hundreds of millions of people, actually billions of them. They've got all kinds of things that are happening to them. The birds are coming. The birds flu. The Bible talks that there's going to be one-fourth of the world population absolutely destroyed by pestilences. And there's like hundreds of them, and there's hundreds of millions of people that are infected with them. And it's not going to get any better. It's going to get worse and worse, the Bible says. We're living in perilous times because people are lovers of their own selves. They want to live their own life. They want to do what they like. That's what their flesh likes to do. And, you know, they pretend to be godly people. They pretend to be little lambs, just like the Antichrist, the popes, and false religions. Try to pretend that they're godly, that they're serving God. But their God is the devil. And if your God is the devil, there's no possible way that you'll ever be molded into the image and likeness of Christ, which you must be by allowing your mind to be transformed by your willingness to let your mind receive the entire Bible, the Word of God, so that your mind is not the old junkyard, but it's the renewal of your mind in Christ, so that your whole body will begin doing everything that the Lord says that we must do in order to enter the kingdom of heaven. We must live a godly life. Now, the law is not done away with. We still are not to worship any other god but the Lord. And it's an abomination for churches to have statues. Well, the Vatican makes up all kinds of excuses why they do that. That's just out and out defiance. Why they worship Mary? The Bible says that we're not to worship anyone. God is the Spirit, and we must worship him. Thou shalt not worship Satan or anything other than God. That you're worshiping becomes Satan to you. Now, there's nothing wrong with your, maybe there's nothing wrong with your wife, your son, or your daughter, or your uncle, or aunt, or your old granddaddy, or your grandmother. But if you're worshiping them, then that becomes Satan, because thou shalt have no other gods before you. Okay? And so if that seems a hard thing for you to do, you will not make it into the kingdom of God. And so right now, here this letter here tells of this young man is in the church, and his wife wants him to come, his wife that is not saved, wants him to come down to a coffee shop and talk to him just for a brief moment. And I said, well, now the Bible tells us to not let anything take us out of the house of God. You mean to say not even for a visit? Look, you know, you have your code of ethics and the Lord God has his. Now, who do you think is right, God or you? God or the world? Now, the world, the Lord says, love not the world. Don't serve them because everything is lusty. Now, this unsaved woman is going to go down there and check. Come on, baby, let the good times roll. Come on, you know, I'm not there. You know I like you. You know I love you. And I, you know, and I want to make you happy. And so it's not good for young baby Christians. The young baby Christian should invite her out to the church. Amen?
Amen.
And then when they both get saved, when she gets saved too, well, then they'll be able to live together in harmony, and then they can let the things that the Lord says are okay in marriage, that they can let that happen. So in essence, what she was talking about in the first place, about letting the good times roll, no, they can then let, in godly love and marriage, they can let the good times roll that way. Amen?
Amen.
If they're serving the Lord. But anything other than serving the Lord is of the devil. Okay, if that makes sense to your highly intelligent mind. But the Lord never tells us that we have highly intelligent mind. The Bible says that the stupidity of the Lord is smarter than all of man's wisdom put together. Amen? So you may think that's stupid, but the Lord knows that you know nothing because you're dead, if you are dead. And many Christians, they think they're Christians, but because of the fact that they don't believe these things, that they are Christians. But the Bible says you must believe on what the Bible says, the Lord Jesus Christ, and then you'll be saved. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, the Word of God, and thou shalt be saved. So if you doubt the things that the Bible is saying, you're not saved, friend. Amen?
Amen.
So at least one person here on earth is going to tell you the truth, and that would be me.
Amen.
Okay. I mean, even if I get cut into hundreds of millions of pieces, that would be me. I'll tell you the truth. Now, you just listen to what I'm saying about the Bible. And if you want to know the scriptures and verses on it, the Lord has given me a different message this evening. But I'll be glad to do that because I know the Lord. I know the Word. I know Jesus. And I'm saved. I'm going to continue on in the Word until so that I will be saved. Those who continue to the end shall be saved. You mean, Lord, does that mean that we, those that don't continue to the end in your word and serving you will not be saved? That's right. The Lord is, God is love, but he's also, he also kills people. And he also allows people to go to hell because he gives you the right way to go. And he lets, you know, he knows that you can find the left way to go. There's hundreds of millions of ways to go to hell, but only one way to enter heaven, and that's through Christ, the Word, the blood of Jesus, the Spirit living in you and through you, and your continuance in the Word to the end. All right? Now, that's the way it really is. If you want to believe some other way, you can. But when you reach hell, the lake of fire, you're going to wish that you would have listened to the Bible. You would have listened to me preaching the Bible, or anybody else is preaching it the way I preach it. All right? So let's go now. I've already told that this woman wants to meet him. Read it real fast, the whole thing. Go ahead.
Regarding my wife, presently I've been pulled for a season from tracking with the crews. By phone, my wife called and was trying to get me to have coffee with her at the McDonald's at Highland in Hollywood.
See,
Boulevard.
This happens almost every time. The father, the mother, they came up with goons and baseball bats. He says, because my son is not really my son anymore. He's acting different. He's acting holy. He doesn't smoke pot anymore. This is horrible. He doesn't fornicate anymore. He doesn't steal and lie. He's not a homosexual anymore. My daughter's not a lesbian anymore. This is awful. We've got to get him out of there and brainwash him and send him to a deprogramming camp. You that think that way, you're going to be sorry that you did such a thing as that, or even thought such a thing as that. Because this life is very short. It's vapory. It's like a little vapor that appears for a moment, then it goes away. You've seen people smoke cigarettes. I used to smoke them like a chimney. And I'd like blow the smoke ring and then whoop, poof, it would be gone. And that's what the Bible says our life is like. It's like a puff of vapor. Grassy. Like we're like shadows that appear for a moment and then we're gone. And so it's better to do the works of the Lord on this side of eternity and live in bliss eternally than to live our own lives the way we think we should, or instead of knowing by reading the Word of God what we're supposed to do, and then winding up in the lake of fire forevermore. And you say, well, God is a good God. Yes, He is, but He kills. And He allows people to go to hell because His fury is what the fire of hell is. Because if you reject His plan of salvation, He's prepared a place and enlarged it that is a place of fury. And that fury is, He's so furious at you rejecting His Son that actually died, giving you a chance of escape, to escape the fires of hell and the lake of fire on eternity. He allows you to be there because the Lord also has fury. He is angry. He has anger against those that thumb their nose at Him and His precious Son, and that turn their back on salvation. Because God has done everything for us here on earth to get us into the kingdom of God. And then if you don't, He has a place where He pours out His wrath and His fury. You need to read the Bible instead of listening to all the honyaks that you're listening to. Because the Bible is the Word of God. And why do you think the people in this world want to put the Word of God down? It's because of the fact that they want to live without people telling them that they're going to go to hell. They hate it that we say homosexuals are going to hell. But we're saying that so that they'll repent and that they'll be able to go to heaven. But the Bible is not true, they say. All the signs of the coming of the Lord are at hand. The Bible tells of Russia and Red China and the Arabs rising up against Israel. That's happening right now. He says the mark of the end of His coming would be when the Jews have been restored to Israel. From all over the world they go back. And that happened in 47 or 48. And now we're sitting here with earthquakes happening. The world is just overflowing with pestilence. And there's terrorism, murder, drive-by shootings, all kinds of vile corruption that causes the world to be in the exact state that it was at the time that the Lord drowned everyone in the world with the exception of 8 people. So I would pay great attention. Now, of course, Satan is fighting born-again Christians when they first get saved, and they don't have enough of the Word of God in them to be able to argue with their parents or their loved, whoever comes to them, that they've been around. Even their pals, their old friends, will come in and say, come on, man, you can't be that stupid. Come out here where there's all kinds of life. There's nothing in the world but death. I'm preaching life, and life eternal, and life more abundantly when you're here. I'm not preaching death. These people that want to have coffee with you are preaching death, to stay in the junkyard instead of being molded into deity, into a member of deity's body. Okay, now finish off with this brother.
I told her since I'm not with the trackers due to health problems that I cannot guarantee I could see her at McDonald's. My wife said that she only wanted to see me for a short period of time.
But that's all, that she doesn't really love me anyway. Amen. I don't want you around me for, you know, anymore. But I just want to talk you out of your soul. Amen?
Amen.
Right there, it tells the story, doesn't it?
Amen.
I don't want to be around you, man. Actually, I'm probably making it with several other guys. And, you know, who needs you? right?
Right.
Well, who needs you is what I tell her.
Amen.
If that's all you want to do, see it for a few minutes, well, then I don't have the time of day for you, okay? Get lost. You're already lost, so you don't have to tell her that. Okay, then what else?
She only wanted to see me for a short period of time, about 25 minutes, at McDonald's, and then she would take the trip in the church van for the 8 p.m. service. I tried...
Oh, no, just get her. If she wants to go to the service, let her come up there, because you're a very sick person. I think he's very ill, isn't he, this
yes.
man? And we're presently sending him to doctors and to... we're taking care of him in every way that there is that needs to be taken care of. I think he needs a hernia operation. Is that the one that
yes.
needs a hernia operation? And they say he has to have it right away, so we've sent him over to the best doctor in Beverly Hills. And he told him that he has to have this operation real soon, and it's going to cost $4,000. Now, ask your girlfriend or wife or whatever this is if she wants to put up the money for your operation or one of those do-gooders, one of them devils in the world. Will you come up with $4,000 for his operation? Will you buy him a toothbrush? Will you buy some sheets and pillowcases and also warm blankets and a pillow and a pillowcase on it and everything and feed him 3 times a day? Will you teach him the Bible and teach him how to get into the kingdom of heaven? No, you won't, because you don't know the Bible. Probably never picked one up in your life, and if you did, if you opened that Bible and read it, you'd be scared to death. Okay, now finish.
I tried to explain to her that there was no guarantee that I could meet her at McDonald's, as there are church rules and procedures. Nevertheless, she kept pressing, demanding that I meet her at McDonald's.
Well, you either have to meet her demands or the Lord's demands. The Lord wants you to win her soul. And so if you do what she says, she won't have any respect for God. Now, I've taken a lot of flack from a bunch of devils in this world for instructing people this way. But, you know, to please your relative, unsaved relatives is not godliness. Or to please anybody in this world other than the Lord. If the Lord tells you no, then you better go with God. That's why it's important to know Christ. To know Christ, you have to know the whole Word of God, because the whole Word of God is Christ. Okay, now see if I'm wrong or right or wrong by reading the Word of God. And then there's a person in the church, his older Christian told him that you're a new creature now, and we'll read that later, all right? Bam.
I never said I would see her at McDonald's. Nevertheless, I could have been more firm with my wife. At one point, she expressed being upset with me. I mistakenly said, "Sorry, I'm not perfect." Dwayne, a Christian older brother, told me, "Barry, you may have made a few mistakes in your conversation with your wife, but in God's eyes, through Christ Jesus, you, Barry, have been made perfect."
Okay, no, that isn't. You have not been made perfect yet. You become a new creature in Christ Jesus. But the Lord tells us to strive for perfection. All right? The Bible tells us, and I gave you some other instructions. What were they to tell him?
That do you think that Christ, that the Christ that I know, is formed in a person the second they have accepted Christ?
Well, no. A person that just accepts the Lord Jesus Christ is not fully mature. The Bible says that we need to study the Word of God so that we can grow up into the fullness of the stature of Christ to full maturity. We're not perfect at that time. We have salvation, and if we continue on learning the Word of God and knowing Christ more and more, we're going to love Him more and more, because He's good, He's holy, and He's true. And then that wasn't the main thing I wanted you to tell.
That you have to strive for perfection.
Yeah, well, you do have to strive. I've already mentioned that, but there was one other thing I told you.
I didn't get it off the tape yet.
Oh, she has to get it off the tape. We tape all these things. So, the Bible tells us that we grow in Christ. And so he's not perfect. So the other person, the person that was telling that you're perfect right now, is wrong, because he did, he would say imperfect things and would not have the full armor of God on. Now, we become saved, and then Paul says, now put on the full armor of God. That means the full word of God, so that we'll be able to fight these kind of creatures that come and get angry with us because we won't do their bidding, like when they snap their fingers. We're not going to run down there and say, oh yes, we're Christians and we're going to do everything that you say. No, we're going to do the opposite of what you say. Just like, for instance, the world is saying that we should get all the Bibles out of school, tear down all the crosses, get rid of, and I defy the world with that, because really the cross, I'm carrying the cross, and that's the kind of cross. It's a spiritual matter, not a physical cross that somebody manufactured and put up. But I'm carrying the cross, and the cross is to rebuke the world for saying things like this. And his the one that told him this is also a baby Christian. So I'm just saying this on tape so that the people in the church will know what to say to people. Don't be going around telling you baby Christians, that you're perfect yet. And you people that are in the church that are not doing everything that the Lord says to do, don't be saying that you're perfect yet either. But you may not be sinning. I'm sure that you're not sinning or committing a fornication, adultery. You're not a lesbian or a homosexual anymore, because the Lord made you a new creature. You were born. You say you were born with these problems, but the Lord says that's why you need to be born again with the Spirit of God. You were born of water, but now you have to be born of the Spirit. You need to be resurrected from the dead life that you were living before and become a new creature in Christ. Okay, and then what?
My wife called the church again, and I stood firm this time and told her unequivocally that she could only meet at the church, take it or leave it.
Well, that's good. But what the older, this other Christian that's been around a little bit longer than him said was wrong. Okay, now, any other letters?
Yes. The first one's from Accra, Ghana, Africa.
Okay.
Thank you for sending me your book entitled The Messiah Plus 10 Newsletters. The materials have brought spiritual awareness and a new zeal for God's work in my life. I gave some newsletters to my Christian friends who had grown cold in the faith, and when I visited them, they all expressed joy, as they have all revived in the Spirit and are doing well as a result of reading your newsletters. These people are hungry for your newsletters. Kindly send about 50 newsletters and some Bibles for the new converts who are in need of it badly. I'm very thankful that you will send them to me. May the Almighty God continue to bless you. Thank you, Donnie from Accra, Ghana, West Africa.
Well, you know, there's a lot of people that have been ordering a piece of literature now for 3 and 4 and 5 and 6 and 7 and 10 and 20 times. Those sort of people, if they order like 5, 10,000, 20,000 pieces of literature, we send it to them. But those of you that have never ordered literature before or distributed it, and we see no reaction from your area, well, then we're not going to, if you order 10,000 tracts, we might send you 1,000 or 500. And when they're gone, if you reorder again, we'll maybe give you 1,000 to 2,000 or 3,000, maybe 4,000, whatever the Lord tells me. And then if those are gone and there's a big revival in your area, then we'll send you 10, 20,000, 50,000, whatever you want, because we know that you're actually on the job. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then. We only have time. How much time do we have left here?
20 minutes total.
20 minutes total. So that's all. We've got stacks of letters, and they all say how happy they are that they're saved and everything else. But right now we're going to read the third chapter of Malachi, which I was going to do the other day. Start at the beginning, please.
Behold, I am going to send my messenger.
Okay, this is God talking. This is his message. He's going to send his messenger to make the way of the Lord clear or straight. He's going to clear up in everybody's minds what the Bible really says, because there was so much false doctrine. And it's the same thing today. The Lord says that there's we have to beware of false doctrine. You see this Da Vinci thing, these are false prophets, sort of saying stuff like that. He says, beware of false prophets who are saying that Jesus was married to Mary Magdalene. And no, the Lord's bride is those of us who accept him into us as his home. We are the bride of Christ. So Christ does have a bride, but it certainly wasn't Mary Magdalene. They never had any children. All these people are the false prophets that the Lord warned us about many times in the Bible, five times alone in the 24th chapter of the book of Matthew. Read the 24th chapter of the book of Matthew, because it tells of the different signs that would be happening just before he comes back to earth. And it's they're all here now. The Bible's been preached around the world, all over, and everything is ready for the Lord. I believe he has his hands right on the doorknob in the kingdom of heaven to turn it and then make his appearance in the sky. There's just a few things, the two witnesses of God, and that's about it. And we are in the tribulations. It's going to get worse and worse. Like, for instance, there is all peace has been taken from off the face of this earth. That's already been fulfilled. Do you feel peaceful when you're driving your car down the road today? No, people tell me that they're scared out of their wits. People weren't this way 50, 60 years ago. Nobody even worried about stuff like that here in the United States back then. Okay, so let's start.
Behold, I am going to send my messenger, and he will clear the way before me.
He'll straighten out what the true word of God is, and that the Messiah is coming, and he's going to be here very quickly, in just a few hours. And Christ did appear. So this man, the messenger that the Lord was going to send, was Elijah, in the form of John the Baptist. When John the Baptist was in his mother Elizabeth's womb, the spirit of Elijah entered into him, and he leaped in his mother's womb. And he was Elijah. So all these false prophets that are telling you that Elijah is coming, it's not Elijah. The reason Elijah had to come back, the Bible states that God took Elijah up into the kingdom of heaven, and he didn't die. And so therefore, all is appointed unto all men to die once. They have to die just once. And after this, the judgment. So that means if you're just going to die once, that you're not going to come back as another human being or another animal or bird or anything, because then you'd have to die again. But it's appointed unto man to once to die, just one time, and after this, the judgment. You're put in hell or you're going to heaven immediately. There's no other judgment. There's just the final judgment that comes after you die. Okay? And then go ahead.
And the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple.
Okay, the Lord who you seek is talking about Jesus. God, the Bible promised that God was going to come into the world in the flesh. And so everybody was waiting, they were seeking, they were searching the scriptures to find out when this event is going to happen, but they didn't study correctly. They weren't even studying their Bibles, just like the people in the world today. And so they had no idea exactly when it was going to be. We know when it's going to be, because the Bible tells us that we're going to know. We won't know the exact hour or the exact times, but he tells us that all these things, these different events would happen in the world. Wars, rumors of wars, earthquakes, pestilence, famines, floods. All these horrible events that you see taking place on the earth today, and they're going to get, as I keep saying, as the Bible says, worse and worse. And so it's time to repent now. Don't wait until one of the plagues hits you, or one of your loved ones that you love dearly, and that you would, I know a lot of people that have lost a loved one, and they were very astute businessmen and women, and they became winos after that. They just couldn't, they just felt no purpose to live anymore. They just wanted to die. One was Dean Martin. His son died in an airplane crash. Mr. Onassis, his son was killed in an airplane crash. He didn't want to live anymore, and he died soon after, and so did Dean Martin. And it's just that way. I have preached in wino missions in Los Angeles and other places in Tennessee and so on, and the place is filled with people that were at one time somebody, and they just gave up because they just had no will to live any longer. And read that line again.
And the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple.
So we are the temple of the Lord. So he says that he's going to come to his temple. We are his home. So when Christ came in, he was seeking souls. Susie had a vision of the Lord. He was walking down in a sewer, because this world is really a sewer, a junkyard, a dressing room for eternity. And she didn't see the... At first, she couldn't tell what it was. It was way. It was like in the labyrinth in France. And here is this, like, she saw this light going back and forth, back and forth, coming nearer and nearer to where she was. And all of a sudden, she got a look at his face. And the lantern was shining on his face, and she looked at him. She said, "Lord," it was the Lord seeking for souls in the sewers and in the gutters of the world. And there's people that are in churches today. One of the pastors here in this area dressed as a bum one morning, and there was old buildings outside of the church, and he pretended that he was an old bum. And he was leaning up against the wall, and all these people just bypassed him and didn't invite him to church, didn't ask him if he was hungry, didn't ask him if he had a place to live or anything. And they all got into the church, and they were all seated. And then he walked down the aisle and got behind the pulpit and said, "I was the one that you people, every single one of you people walked by me. You're not Christians. What are you doing here in church today?" And... unless you're on the streets or in the marketplace someplace searching for souls to save, then you're not anything in the eyes of the Lord. You may think yourself a big cheese, you got some money and some position in life, and that you've got a nice comfortable apartment or house or whatever, and the Lord is just looking at you narrowly and wanting to know if you're ever going to be a Christian. Okay, then keep going.
"And the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight, behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts."
Yeah, in other words, God the Father, and he's saying, which is Christ, and the one that can save your soul is coming. You delight in this one, to knowing about salvation. Then go ahead.
"But who can endure the day of his coming?"
Well, who can endure the day of his coming? When he really comes and tells you what it is that you have to do in order to be saved. When he tells you that you gotta give up your former life, when he tells you that you gotta deny yourself, and yet you've gotta take up the cross and follow him, are you gonna be able to endure that? Are you really gonna get yourself saved? Are you gonna really do what God says? Go ahead.
"And who can stand when he appears?"
Yeah, and who's gonna be able to stand? He says, "Follow me, be like me." Are you gonna be able to stand like Jesus? Are you gonna let his spirit enter into you with the Father by the Spirit? And are you going to, like when you're walking in the church in all your glad rags, are you going to go up to that bum and say, "Hey, brother, are you hungry? Would you like to go to church?" I bet you that pastor would have been very proud if somebody would have done that to him, right?
Right.
And here was the pastor. And the Bible said, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of mine, that bum was Jesus. He said, "You've done it unto me." Okay?
Amen.
So, I mean, you know, people look down your nose at the people. I cut my teeth down in Skid Row in the mission field, because I had so much slang from the entertainment industry that Susie said when I give my testimony and things, people wouldn't even know what I'm talking about. So I have to go there. And I'd get up and give my testimony. The wino, she said, didn't even know what she said. But she said, and she told me the things that I was saying that was wrong, and so I had to learn how to speak to clear to where people could understand the things that I was saying. And then she'd get up and bring the message, and a whole bunch of souls would come down to the altar. And I'd get down and pray with them. And then finally I realized that what she was saying about me was the actual truth. I remember when I was witnessing to Elvis Presley, we're in his home over on Peruga Drive, 525 Peruga Drive in Bel Air. I was talking in such slang that he started laughing because I says, you know, when the Spirit of God was coming down in that office, I thought that there's got to be some cat in this room, you know, some dude. In other words, it's hypnotizing me or shutting my ears off. How could he do that, you know? And he says, cat, cat. And he grabs his stomach and he started laughing so hard and he rolled off of his seat. And I thought, oh my God, the fear of God came into me because I thought I had done something so wrong. And the Lord knew that I did it innocently. But I never used that term again for the rest of my life. That was a long time ago when I was a baby Christian. Okay, and then what?
For he is like a refiner's fire.
So who's going to be able to stand or to abide in that day? Because he's like pure. And see, the whole world right now is telling everybody that you can sin and still get into the kingdom of heaven. You people cannot abide because she's pure. And he says, you've got to be like me. You've got to come and follow me. Deny yourself and take up the cross of fire. You've got to stop lying. You've got to. You can't be lusting. You can't be a lesbo or a homosexual. This is the same God that looks at the heavens and the earth and they flee when he looks at them because he's so pure. The throne, the great white throne of God is pure. It's white. It's clean. The Bible says we can't get into heaven if we have one spot of sin, one blemish, one blot of sin on us. So who's going to be able to abide when he comes? Oh, you're searching for him to come. Oh, Jesus, please come. Because, we're so happy that you allow us to fornicate. Yeah, the Lord didn't save you so you could continue sinning. He said that he that sinneth is of the devil. Well, but our pastor, you better forget about that pastor. That guy is just one of the many false prophets that the Lord talked about in the Bible, just like this guy that wrote the Da Vinci Code. I mean, there's people that have checked that. That's nothing but a fable. You wouldn't catch me spending money to read that thing or spending the time to read it. It's just, I know that the Lord said there's false prophets, and so I just receive that. I don't even listen to any of this garbage about Judas was a good man. When the Bible plainly says that he's a devil. You have to receive the word. You have to receive Jesus, the word of God. If you don't receive the word of God as Jesus laid it down and the prophets laid it down, you can't be saved. Receive the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, how can we have eternal life? Believe on him whom the Father has sent. That's the work of God. Amen?
Amen.
Well, what do we do? What is the work of God, Lord? He says, believe on the one that God has sent here, the one that is like Fuller's soap, like a fire, a smeltering plant. Okay, keep going. Now read that line again.
For he is like a refiner's fire.
A refiner's fire, isn't that what I said? He's like a refinery that you get boiled down. You've got to put the whole word of God. You have to put all of Christ into your brain. Okay, keep going.
And like Fuller's soap.
Like Fuller's soap. Fuller's soap is white. It's like the whitest, purest soap in the world. Then what?
He will sit as a smelter and purifier.
Oh, a smeltering plant. He will sit as a smeltering plant. Like he takes all the junk, and his word takes all the junk out of your spirit, out of your soul. He's like a smeltering plant, right?
Right.
Okay? And some people just want you to believe that they're so holy and everything. When they've already confessed that they were weasels when they were out in the world. And they're not. Okay, then what? So read that last line. Fuller's soap and a smeltering plant.
He will sit as a smelter and purifier of silver. And he will purify the sons of Levi and refine them.
Well, what do you mean? Purify us? Does that mean that you can still go and sin? Huh? He wants to smelter you. He wants you to go through fire so that you can be pure like gold. Amen?
Amen.
Spiritually as gold and silver. Amen?
Amen.
Then what?
He will purify the sons of Levi.
Oh, he's going to purify you. Does that mean he's going to purify you from sin? Okay? And that's what the whole Bible says. He that sinneth is of the devil. I see that finish that sentence because I see my time is up.
and refine them like gold and silver, so that they may present to the Lord offerings in righteousness.
Well, what is the offerings in righteousness? In other words, that's you. We have to offer ourselves. We have to lay on the altar and be burnt ashes. In other words, our whole old life is gone. We are not to live according to that. We're not to continue doing any of the things that we did before. We're ashes. And then out of those ashes arises a purified spirit that is like the Lord Jesus Christ. And that can happen. The first step, though, is you're not going to be perfect, but you're going to be purified right now when you ask the Lord Jesus Christ into your heart. It doesn't make any difference how many sins you've committed before, but the Lord says, go and sin no more, lest the worst thing happen unto you. Okay, so all you got to do to start out in salvation is just say this prayer before the Lord. Say it and mean it with all your, with as much of your heart as you have to the Lord. Say, my Lord and my God, have mercy upon my soul, a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. I believe that he died on the cross and shed his precious blood for the forgiveness of all my sins. And I believe that God, that you as God, raised yourself up from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit, which you are. Wash all my filthy sins away, Lord. Take them away. I open the door of my heart. I invite you into my heart, Lord Jesus. And I just want you to just completely cleanse me, purify me. Let me go through the fire. I want to go through the smeltering plant that you set up for me. I want to wind up like spiritual gold and purified silver. Lord, in Jesus' name, you won't turn me away, Lord. Your word says so. You say that anyone that calls upon the Lord shall be saved, and I'm calling upon you, Lord. Therefore, I know you've heard me, and I know you've answered me, and I know I'm saved. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving my soul. Now just raise your hands and praise the Lord and thank the Lord. And thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Now here's Sharon to tell you how you can receive a copy of this tape. Ask for tape 180, program number 180, and just say if you want a tape or a CD.
Go to alamoministries.com or write to Tony Alamo Christian Ministries, P.O. Box 6467, Texarkana, Texas 75505, or call area code 479-782-7370 or fax to area code 479-782-7406.
All right, praise the Lord. You're going to want to hear number 79, part 79, How to Have God's Life Living In. So make sure you turn in tomorrow. Until then, this is World Pastor Tony Lama saying God bless you and keep praising the Lord and seeking his face and continuing on in his spirit, in his pure spirit to the end. In Jesus' name, amen.